Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner, joined this week by Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, and Bob Miller, host of the Morning News Express. Faith Debate is brought to us by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow, and Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? This week, we're going to reach deep into the email bag, and there's a couple of reasons I'm doing this. One, I got an email from a couple of different people. Actually, I think three emails in a week or a week and a half from somebody that it's a hoax.
It's a hoax.
So, you know, put the hoax alert out if you're getting this email.
Snope it.
Hoax.
Yeah. Don't forward this email.
Hoax. Wait, it must be about global warming.
No.
Sorry.
I need
Al Gore on the program to debate whether that's a hoax or not. Actually, I think we were experiencing global cooling.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, right now we are.
Well, as of we record this show, yeah.
The ministry hoax where they need $1,000, right?
Yes.
And speaking of hoaxes, today is April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day.
So
now I know why I'm here.
Yep. See. Yep.
No, you're not a fool just in April, Bob.
And you're supposed to be a Christian.
That's right.
So, but seriously, given that it's April Fool's Day,
we're going to be serious.
This is seriously a hoax. I'm not saying that, I'm not pretending this is a hoax to be funny. Here's how the email reads: Dr. Dobson, you know, from Family.
Yes.
What's
Focus
it called?
On the Family.
Focus on the Family.
James
yes.
Dobson.
Says that Dr. Dobson is going on CNBC to urge every Christian to get involved. I hope you will think about signing this and forward. It's a petition. And forwarding to all of your family and friends. Dr. James Dobson with Focus on the Family. There we go. Pleads for our action. An organization has been granted a federal hearing on the same subject by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, in Washington, D.C. Their petition, number 2493, would ultimately pave the way to stop the reading of the gospel of our Lord and Savior on the airwaves of America. They got 287,000 signatures to back their stand. If this attempt is successful, all Sunday worship services being broadcast on the radio or by television will be stopped. This group is also campaigning to remove all Christmas programs and Christmas carols from public schools. You, as a Christian, can help. We are praying for at least 1 million signatures. This would defeat their effort and show that there are many Christians alive, well, and concerned about our country. As Christians, we must unite on this. Please don't take this lightly. We ignored one lady once and lost prayer in our schools and in offices across the nation. Please stand up for your religious freedom and let your voice be heard. Together, we can make a difference in our country while creating an opportunity for the lost to know the Lord.
So did you sign that before you found out it was
a
hoax?
No. Please press forward. Clean up the message for this blah blah blah. Now please sign your name at the bottom. Don't delete any other names. Just go to the next number and type. And then you can see, I mean, there is
you printed off all the names.
Look at this. I got pages of names on here of people that apparently
let's go down and read
this.
Them all. All these guys got hoaxed. Just to let you guys know, you are the people that got hoaxed.
Now, before I had a chance
how did you find out it was a hoax?
Before I had a chance to do anything with this, this was forwarded to me by my wife.
Okay.
Minutes later, it was forwarded to me. This email was forwarded to me. Hello, everybody. Well, I went against my own rule this morning and forwarded something that I received via email from. There's a grammatical error there, I think. Wrong. I usually just delete that stuff without even looking at it. It was brought to my attention that this petition is an urban legend. Thank you, Maria, person who gave her a heads up.
Uh-huh.
I also checked it out by calling Focus on the Family, who confirmed that it is an urban legend. For future reference, you can go to www.truthorfiction.org and check out the facts about anything similar that you may receive. This site was recommended by Focus on the Family. My humblest apologies.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of things, though, that I want to talk about on this. First of all, as you know, John, and if you've heard any of the shows about the emails, Bob,
there's so much crud out there.
Oh, these chain emails,
don't
forward the chain emails.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly if they say, if you don't forward this, you'll be cursed. Or if you do forward this, you'll be blessed.
That's right. The little
you're playing right into the witchcraft kind of stuff. Do not support that stuff. Don't forward them.
Yes.
And if you're going to forward something like this, there's another one out there, by the way, about a girl that's missing. And it shows a picture of her and says, this girl is missing.
And it's a hoax.
And it's a hoax. She's not missing.
Wow.
And it says she's been missing for a month.
Mm-hmm.
She's been missing for a month for 5 years.
Oh. For those of you that aren't paying attention but still reading all those emails.
And that's how I caught on to that one because I was like, man, this looks like that same thing I got like 2 years ago.
Wow.
So I checked it out. I don't know if it was truthorfiction.org. There's other sites similar
to that. Sure
enough,
these emails are just floating from one email.
And I don't know, like
another.
The one, the girl who's missing one, I don't know if that's some girl wants to be famous and have her picture all over the internet, if it was a friend playing a joke on some other friend. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll get her picture all over the internet. I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to do one about you missing.
You
and,
dream.
And see if your wife picks up on it or not.
See if she notices. Any change?
That's right. See if your
He's
daughter,
been absent for years.
I'm going to send it to your daughter. Yeah, he is missing.
This.
That would be sad.
Focus on the family thing with James Dobson speaking out against, you know, somebody trying to get rid of preaching the gospel on the radio or on television and all that sort of stuff. This resonates with a lot of the Christian community, particularly the more conservative Christian community.
Okay.
Because this feels real.
Right.
Right. This could happen.
Because there's enough of this kind of ACLU stuff going on that something like that, we're like, well, maybe we are close to that.
So I'm wondering if somebody sent this out as like a, what do they call those things when?
A call to action?
No.
Because
so that maybe a year from now, James Dobson is spearheading an effort to protect the right to preach the gospel. And everybody will assume it's another one of those hoaxes and nobody will take any action.
Hmm.
What do you think this is an inoculation?
Dude, that is a very Orwellian thought. And I'm trying to get my head around the doublespeak. Yeah. Possibly, I don't know.
But if you were to hear that, and if somebody driving down the road and listening to that, you're going, wow, they are trying to do that. I mean, I can see people thinking that. I'm going, yeah, you know what? Because it resonates. It has a lot of truth to it.
And there's something like this in Canada, right?
The fact of the matter is, if you preach about homosexuality or that kind of stuff, they're going to throw you in jail for hate speech right now. You can't do it. And it's basic to Bible. What scripture says about homosexuality. It's basic. So
in Canada.
In Canada, you can't do it. And there's other nations.
Right, but not here. You can preach
Europe.
On it still here.
Definitely here you can still do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that people understood that you were commenting on my Canada comment.
I'm talking about Canada, not about the United States. But there are people that have, you know, you get these different bills that are introduced in Congress, you know, in even here in Maryland. They're trying to get hate crimes laws passed. Did I say that? Hate crimes laws passed. They're trying to get those things passed, even here in Maryland. And the point is, all they have to do is put a list of people that you can't speak against, coupled with the hate crimes. There's already hate crimes, you know, laws that are out there. And as soon as they put homosexuality in the list, and then you go preach about it, there's the potential that that law here in the United States will be used against you. And so the point is, it's a lot closer than we like to think it is, and yet then somebody sends a hoax around like this.
Right.
I can see what you're saying. And it might just cause us
to... Seriously, I gave some thought to this because I have nothing better to do with my life than think about these things.
Yeah, right.
You know, but seriously, what else would the motivation be? Why would somebody? What kind of hoax is this? You know, what's the motivation? I mean, this is a well-crafted, it seems official, seems like they've done homework, they know what they're talking about, they quote the bill number, right, all that.
Yeah.
They went out of their way to really make it seem
what kind of person
legit.
Would do this?
So what's the reason for doing that if it's not to inoculate us against taking action when we need to?
You're trying to get me to be a conspiracy theorist, aren't you?
Oh, they get you to be one, aren't you already?
Look, just because I think Roswell, no. Yeah. That's right.
Well, that's a whole other four episodes there.
<That's right. laughs>
But you know, like I said earlier, it can be somewhat of somebody's call to action. If somebody read that might get them to start thinking, I need to start getting involved. I need to start getting involved in the political process,
right?
Whatever that means, maybe in a local level, like a school board.
Are you saying so? This could have been sent by somebody with. With
good intentions of just saying, you know what,
involved.
This is where I see us heading. Now, how many people typed in the House bill number or the Senate bill number, and maybe you type it in, and maybe there's something. I'm not saying that that's true.
So you think it might have started as a simpler message, and it got added to by people who thought they knew a fact, and it was like a game of telephone.
It could be, and you add a little credibility by adding James Dobson's name to it and focus on the family. And so
I don't know.
It goes.
See, it's funny because you're being a lot more optimistic about it. I'm totally a cynic about that. I feel like somebody out there is just trying to make Christians look bad.
He's been hanging out with me too long.
Well, you know what, Jonathan? You and I need to go out to lunch then. The glass is half full, brother. The glass is half full.
I like a half full glass. I mean, you get more out of a half full glass, I think. I like a half full glass, but I mean,
this seems too devious to be an honest mistake to me. I don't know.
Somebody that would be that thoughtful about that, but trying to do it to do good, I mean, it's too naive to think that would do good, because if people find out it's a hoax, you know, it's going to undermine their motivation to be involved next time, not encourage it. And it's so well written that for it to be that well written and that person to also be naive enough to think it's going to help Christianity or help Christians would be, I don't know, it doesn't fit the, now I'm like a detective, you know, it doesn't fit the psychological profile.
I mean, a better email for that purpose would be, here's what the law is in Canada. Here's what the law is in some select countries in Europe. Yeah, here's what some people, politicians, whatever, are saying and trying to
lie?
Do in America. Yeah, you don't have to lie.
You don't need to lie in order to get people pumped up for action.
If you listen to what that email said, and I'll end here, then tune into Jay Sekulow every day,
right?
And you can see a lot of parallels
exactly.
of what that letter said and what you know Jay Sekulow fights every single day. So, I mean, though that's
it was a naive
hoax,
person wanted to help.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it could be. It could be a modicum bit of truth to what they were trying to do, even though it was a hoax. They went about it the wrong way. But you hear Christians' rights being dwindled away every single day.
Exactly.
When in North Carolina now they can put their hand on the Quran instead of the Bible.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to stop or I'm going to start getting getting all
stop preaching.
Beat red.
There's enough of that going on
You don't need that to.
Yeah.
There's enough to fight.
Without a doubt.
You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. On the panel, Bob Miller from the Morning News Express. Hey, Bob.
Golf clap.
And what does that drop say? My dad's Bob Miller, and he's an idiot. Or what does that say?
My daddy's always right. At least that's what he says.
That's what it is.
That's right.
I'm the one that says Bob Miller's the idiot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put that in your kid.
My father-in-law has something on his wall that says something about grandfathers are smarter than dads. You know, so my kids come over and they read it all the time. That always bugs me, too.
The person who's always bugged by his kids is Jonathan Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel.
No, by my father-in-law.
Oh, his father-in-law. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, never mind. His kids love him. His father-in-law can't stand him.
Yes, except for when I spank him.
I remember now that earlier Bob said he had some sort of story about being in radio or being
was off the air, but yeah, I told you there was a story.
Yeah.
Of me being on the program was living a Christian's life in a public persona,
right?
And one of the things was that when I became a born again Christian, which was in 1997, I sat there and said, "Okay, God, what's next? Show me what you got for me. Show me what you want to do." And it came in a very quick manner, and we were talking. I was hosting a show by myself. I've hosted every day part on this radio station, and I was doing a midday show where Laura Ingram is now, and we were talking about doctor-assisted suicide. Jack Kevorkian was big in the news, and I was laying out my points of why I don't like it, and a gentleman called me by the name of Bob. Good name. We struck it out. And he talked to me a couple times, and finally he called me up and he said, "You know what? I really like you." He said, "But I have 5 different types of cancer in my body. I'm dying." And I said, "Well, you know," and I apologized, and I said, "You know, what can I do?" And he goes, "I have friends who are in pain. We're all dying, and we want to make a statement about doctor-assisted suicide." And I said, "Well, what can I do?"
Wow.
And he said, "Well, we want to go down to the Capitol steps and kill ourselves." And I was like, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "We like you." He goes, "I want you there to record it. I want you there to commentary on it, the commentary." And so I told him, I said, "Look, I got to get back to you." I said, "You know," and on one hand, I'm sitting there as a fairly new talk show host. I've only been around for maybe 4 years here, and I'm thinking, five guys killing themselves at the Capitol steps. I'm going to be the only person there. It's my story. I'm thinking Larry King, NBC, CBS, ABC.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this is my ticket to rush stardom.
I'm thinking
$20 million wow. down the road. I'm thinking this is it.
Wow.
And then on the other side of me, you know, it was like, this is not the Christian thing to do. This is not what you're supposed to do. And it was funny. I walked around and I talked to people and I said, what would you do?
Yeah.
And they all said, dude, I'd go down there. This is the story of a life. This is what we all wait for. So I talked to him again, and I said, you know what? I said, I can't. I said, I don't believe in this. I said, I don't believe you killing yourself. I said, you will be the story for a week, and then you'll still be dead.
Yeah.
I said, there's a lot of good to come. And, you know, what I did was I prayed for him, and I said, I can't do this. And I had to make a choice between what is right and what most people would say would be a great career move. But I think it was God was testing me, saying, okay, is this about me? Or is this going to be about you?
Wow!
And I mean, that it's always stayed with me, and I lost track of Bob. I mean, I don't know what I'm, and I'm sure he's gone now.
Yeah.
But you know, it was one of those things where it was like, when you ask God to show you, and you really want Him to show you, He'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
So
the point is that when you're a Christian, you're living your life every day. You know, you can't just make the decision based upon what's good for your career, you know. I mean, there's a whole new level of conscience that if we're wanting to have integrity in our walk with God, we have to pay attention to that whole new level of conscience, you know. And it's hard. It's not easy to do. You know, there's temptation. There's all those things that go on.
The other thing I'd want to tell you is, and you and I had this discussion one time, and I don't know if you live by this, Jonathan, but being a public persona, I had the opportunity to go out with one of our sales people here, who was a fairly attractive young lady.
Okay.
And she came to me and said, "We do this thing half off on Frederick, where you go to restaurants and get, you know, it's a deal that you get, and I, for part of my share, I get to go there and eat and try the food out, which I like."
Okay.
And I told her, I said, "Well, we need somebody else to go with us."
Okay.
And she asked why, and I said, "Well, I don't go out to lunch with a single woman by myself."
Right.
And she kind of looked at me, and I said, "Look, it's just a Christian thing that I have. I don't want to be seen with another woman where somebody will see me with an attractive woman having lunch, and the perception could be, what's Bob doing with somebody else?" Well, I don't know her faith, but she was very puzzled by it. And I said, "It's a Billy Graham thing. I don't know where I learned it, but I read it in a Billy Graham book where he said, look, if I'm in a room with a woman," he goes, "there is another woman in the room with me. I don't leave. If I'm having a meeting with somebody in a hotel room, I leave the hotel room door open. So there's no chance of anybody thinking there's any impropriety whatsoever." So, I mean,
Scripture says, avoid all appearance of evil. And so that means that even if there's no evil going on, we make sure that there's no way that people could, you know, assume that there might be evil going on. I run into this as a pastor all the time. You know, you have ladies that might want counsel for, you know, this or that or the other thing. And I make a point that I do not counsel ladies one-on-one. In fact, if I'm on the telephone with a lady and it's getting to be a longer call about ministry stuff, I'll go in a room where my wife is and I'll talk to this lady while my wife is able to be there listening to what's going on, because it's too easy for an appearance of something wrong to come along.
And then we're just leaving Tory out. Eventually he'll go, and I'm Tory Skinner. but also I don't think I have a distinctive voice, but I have a loud voice.
Sure.
and I'll be at a restaurant, and I'll just be having, I have an accountability partner, and we're having lunch, and somebody will walk up and say, "Oh, hey, you're Bob Miller."
Right.
So you got to worry about what you say, how you say it, when you say it, and if, you know, if you're scolding your kids in Walmart or the grocery store, somebody can hear, "Well, hold it, I know that voice." Or, you know, they see the picture on the website or in Frederick Magazine or in a Frederick newspaper. So, I mean, it's always out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have paparazzi around me or anything, but there are people who know who I am by the job that I have, and also know that I'm a Christian by what I say sometimes on the radio.
So either you live in it or you're not.
Well, I know of whom you speak, and she's a Christian, Roman Catholic. So it goes to show you that, you know, not all Christians are thinking along the same lines or have the same kind of teaching over them, or, you know, it's even a Christian looks at you, Bob, and says, "Man, you're weird." You know?
So, but that would be good for any male. I mean, that's just right, common sense. If you, it's not just necessarily a Christian thing, but I mean, even if you are
sometimes
Christian.
It's tough. Like, I'm in the field of sales, and sometimes you have a luncheon appointment or you have a meeting with a decision maker who controls the advertising and marketing money, and it's going to be a one-on-one meeting, and that person is a woman, you know? Yeah. Or in my case, it would be, in today's world, it wouldn't matter if it was a woman or a man, I suppose, but right. More often you think in terms of being a problem, it's a woman. Well, if I'm a female seller, I'm going to run into that an awful lot of times with a male decision maker. And as a practical reality, what do you do? I don't want to get off on this. Maybe we do. Is it inappropriate always for an adult male and an adult female to be alone having lunch or in a meeting room together? Or is that ever appropriate, or that should always be guarded against?
I think it should be guarded against. I the reason why I do it is because I'm a public figure. And I'm also a Christian, so that's a double whammy. You're in sales, that's part of your job. You have to meet with people. I don't necessarily have to meet with people, so it's a different. So for me, it's maybe a different dynamic. That's all.
All right. Well, let me ask you this question: when you're in that kind of a situation, and the lady is, whether it's attractive personality or attractive just as an individual, maybe this is dangerous for you to expose yourself this way. Maybe,
hello.
Maybe I shouldn't even
have
ask you.
Have you ever been attractive to the woman sitting across from you?
No. I'm not asking that. I'm saying, do you or do you not sense that there's the potential that things could go in a flirtatious, in an unbecoming way for you as a Christian? You know, I would say if you're full-blooded male, of course there's that potentiality. And so if you're a businessman, the question is what do you do if you need to have those kinds of connections? What do you do to keep yourself, from letting it go that way? Come on, I mean, how much of society gets involved with those kinds of trysts and relationships
sure.
all the time? And so as a Christian man and woman, for that matter, in those kinds of settings, you got to find ways to set some boundaries for yourself, that you're able to hold yourself accountable to. The question is, how do you do it?
I just make myself as unattractive as possible.
See, I didn't even go there. What was that thing? I was wide open.
I
could have walked right into that.
In other words,
Troy, I know you never had this problem, but for other men.
What I'm seeing there is a man who is skirting the issue because his wife is listening. He is avoiding that question, Jonathan. You stay on him about it. You tell him to answer the question.
That's right.
No, well, she
I just
is.
Have this to say. My wife is so beautiful that there's no other woman that could ever attract me otherwise.
Well, that is an issue, and actually that it helps me because I don't know if it's the answer, but it's my answer for now.
Okay.
You can't ignore that is a potential issue.
Amen.
Because
right.
That's when I think you really can get blindsided. You're doing something or saying something inappropriate before you even maybe realize, I'm being kind of flirtatious here. What am I doing?
Right.
So if you're conscious going in that I need to be guarding against that, I need to make sure that it's purely professional, and if I sense any sort of flirtation from her, I need to do what I can to rebuff that, and be aware that that's an issue.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, that wasn't something that I was very aware of as an issue until my wife came to Christ in a very strong way, and this became an issue for her, me being in sales. And she, well, you're not having a meeting with the client alone, are you? It's not a woman, is it? Well, is she pretty? All those sorts
right,
of things.
Right, all of a sudden it was an issue.
And I was like,
right.
No, what do you thought? It's not an issue. I'm a sale. This is a professional meeting. But, the fact that she's thinking along those lines made me think along those lines, and it forced me to take that concern seriously.
Yeah.
So I still have meetings from time to time with clients or whatever that are females, and oftentimes they're attractive, they're well put together, they dress well. I mean, they're professional ladies, and I have to make sure that I make myself be consciously aware that there could be an issue if I don't have that at the forefront of my mind entering that meeting and throughout. It's not like it's just at the back of the corner mind somewhere.
Right.
It's at the forefront. I have to make sure this stays professional, and I do that out of regard and respect for my wife. I do that because of my own sinful nature. I want to make sure I don't slip up. And, so I do think you have to be conscious of it.
Just for the record, this isn't a problem of women causing problems for us men. It's a problem for men that will be that way with women as well. It just happens that we three would make an effort because of Christ in our lives to not be that way. But there's plenty of men out there that, like for my wife or for Christian women, you know, will cause just as many problems. And so this isn't just women that are the problem. Clearly men and women can be equally guilty along these lines.
Jonathan's always more guilty than his wife, though. I've met his wife, I can say. Jonathan, pastor of Crossroads Valley, Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads. Boy, I'm having a hard time talking all of a sudden. Let me start over.
We just get rid of the Schweitzer, and he can just have, like, you know, like Cher or Madonna.
There you go.
Jonathan. There's already the comedian, though, Jonathan, isn't there?
Oh.
Jonathan Schweitzer, the pastor, not the comedian, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, meets at, which school?
Crestwood Middle School.
Thank you. Drew Blank.
A few more tongue twisters.
Bob Miller, host of the Morning News Express and guest on the panel for now 4 shows.
I'm done now?
You're
done. Is that what you're telling me now?
I'm telling you, you're done. Okay. You'll probably never be on the show again. Get misty-eyed.
That's okay.
Okay. That's enough.
Bless you guys.
Anyway, I'm Troy Skinner. Thanks to our sponsors, All Shred Mobile Document Destruction, Shredding Today for Growth Tomorrow, Putman Plumbing and Heating, How Can We Make You Smile. Thank you so much for listening. And make sure you check out the Faith Debate page on WFMD.com.
Woo-hoo.
We're excited about it. I hope you are too. God bless.